Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Here is a very interesting story breaking this morning that's kind of a surprise because everybody thought the Supreme Court had done quite enough for this session, thank you. And here on what was supposed to be the day after comes an interesting, it's not exactly a decision on Guantanamo Bay, but it's a decision to take a case. And so according to the AP, the Supreme Court reversing course agreed this morning to review whether Guantanamo Bay detainees may go to federal court to challenge their indefinite confinement. The action was announced without comment and is a setback for the Bush administration, which had argued that a new law strips courts of their jurisdiction to hear detainee cases. Now, in April, the court turned down an identical request, although several justices indicated that they could be persuaded otherwise. So this is a highly unusual move, as the AP indicates. The court did not say what changed the justices' minds about considering the issue, but last week lawyers for the detainees filed a statement from a military lawyer in which he described the inadequacy of the process that the administration has put forward as an alternative to a full-blown review by civilian courts. In February, the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for D.C. upheld a key provision of a law that the Bush administration pushed through Congress last year, stripping federal courts of their ability to hear the detainees' challenges to their confinement. On April 2nd, the Supreme Court agreed with that. The detainees then petitioned the court to reconsider its denial, and the court now says dismissing the petitions would be a profound deprivation of the prisoner's right to speedy court review. At least that's what their lawyer said. The administration asked that the detainees' Supreme Court petitions be thrown out. But again, in a highly unusual move, the Supreme Court reversed course this morning and agreed to review whether Guantanamo Bay detainees may go to federal court to challenge their indefinite confinement. In April, they had ruled that they cannot. So thought you'd like to know that breaking this morning. Well, now, it is not just Friday. It's follow-up Friday. On Fridays this summer, we're following up on things that came up briefly on the show during the week that we can dig a little deeper into. And so right now, we'll follow up on something Mayor Bloomberg said in our breakfast interview on Wednesday morning, and that was reinforced here yesterday by Schools Chancellor Joel Klein. It's about the role of parents in the public schools.
Before, we had this elected group where it was just a patronage thing, where people were using it as a stepping stone, and certainly we're not doing the job that a professional parent coordinator are doing today. Teachers should run the classroom with direction from the principals, not parents.
Teachers should run the classroom with direction from the principals, not parents. What do you think about that quote, and especially in light of all the complaints that you've had this year, which I think you would acknowledge, from parents groups who accuse you of alienating them and moving too fast to reorganize without their input?
Actually, we had some complaints. I think we've worked those through. You probably recall when we had the event with the various parents groups, and we've got committees that are working on it. I think in the end, the mayor's right, Brian. I think in the end, I mean, let's be candid. I think in the end, schools need to be responsible and accountable for the education. That doesn't mean parents shouldn't be heard. That's why we put a parent coordinator in every school. But in the end, it seems to me that the delivery of educational services is a responsibility of the principal, assistant principals, and the teachers in the schools. And we can't have, for example, if parents groups say one group wants this curriculum, another group wants another curriculum, I don't think you can run a school system effectively that way.
So Mayor Bloomberg with me Wednesday morning, Chancellor Klein with me Thursday morning, and we will follow up on that with a call-in for parents now. Did those remarks disturb you? Did they offend you? Did they make you feel locked out and marginalized? Or are the mayor and chancellor right, parents? 212-433-WNYC, 833-9692. What Chancellor Klein just said there, let's be candid. I think in the end, schools need to be responsible and accountable for the education. That doesn't mean parents shouldn't be heard. That's why we put a parent coordinator in every school. But in the end, it seems to me the delivery of educational services is the responsibility of the principals and assistant principals. And we can't have, for example, if parents' groups say one group wants the curriculum and another group wants another curriculum, I don't think you can run a school system effectively that way. So in general, if you are a parent of a child who goes to any school, I mean, this is a larger question than just the New York City public schools. How do you see, as a parent, your role in your child's school? 212-433-WNYC, or post a comment on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Do you try to influence the curriculum, the teaching style? Have you ever gotten into a debate? One group of parents wants this math curriculum, another one wants that one, as in the hypothetical the chancellor was referring to. When have you, as a parent, gotten involved? Maybe you're a PTA president or other official. Do you facilitate parent involvement of various types? Do you ever support the administration of the school against parents who you feel are crossing some kind of line? 212-433-WNYC, or go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show and post a comment. What is the role of parents in the schools, and what has your experience as a parent been, and how do you react to what the mayor and chancellor said on the show this week? Our follow-up Friday question right now, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Elizabeth in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. I'm calling because my kids recently enrolled in a new empowerment school. It was a big school in Brooklyn, broken up into two smaller schools. And
an empowerment school, for people who don't know, means it's one of these experimental schools where the principal has more power to determine the budget, how the budget of the school is spent, and it's a little bit out of the normal bureaucracy. Go ahead.
Well, what we had was a huge school that was mismanaged and misrun, and now we have a school that the parents are encouraged to attend. There's lots of programs, for example. We have monthly activities. I'm not even a member of PTA, but there are activities for parents and children to learn how to incorporate educational philosophies at home rather than just put the kids in front of the TV or the video games, activities families can do together. And the principal has encouraged all parents to attend the school leadership club meetings to help facilitate policy. For example, we're having summer school as a full day instead of a half day to accommodate working parents.
Mm-hmm.
We have.
So you feel very included by the principal.
Absolutely. And no decisions are made without the teachers and the parents
right.
involved.
So do you feel that the mayor and the chancellor there were giving too much license to other principals not to include in the way that your principal has?
I don't know if they're giving them license, but I think it's up to the principal's choice. I was at another school several years ago with one of my kids, and the principal discouraged parents from participating. It was run like a megalomania situation where the meetings were held at 10 o'clock in the morning for the PTA. Three or four people would show
up. During the work day.
Yeah, and there weren't any programs for parents and students to do. At the new school, the principal has enrichment clubs after school that all the teachers teach, whether it's cooking for kindergartners or board mm-hmm. games or...
Sounds like you got yourself into a great school there, you and your kids. Do you want to shout out the name or no?
No, it's PS 503 in Brooklyn.
Okay, thanks a lot, Elizabeth. Good luck. John on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am in St. George. It's a very mixed area.
On the North Shore, know it.
Both my children go to Title I schools. The grade school is PS 16.
Title I meaning there's a concentration of kids in poverty there.
There's a lot of that. It's a very mixed and in some ways very nicely balanced area, and we're happy to be here. But the schools are struggling, and I find at both the grade school and the junior high, the parent-teacher coordinators do very little but keep the parents just one more step further away from the administration. And I just find it a blocking move. I think the schools really, I think the principal really just sets the tone in the schools. And in some schools, they're more open to parents have to say, and others, they're very closed.
What do you think the role of the parents should be that is being blocked by the parent coordinator in your school?
I think any time there's a question or a question about grades or curriculum or... I just don't think they want any input from the parents. I think the parents are something that should be seen and not heard. That's the feeling I get. And my kids do actually pretty well in the schools. They're both in the honor programs. But I just don't feel like I have any input whatsoever.
I feel the fences are up. John, thank you very much. Mary in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Brian. I would like to... support what the last gentleman just said. I really agree with him. My son just graduated from the Bronx High School of Science, and I would say that there has been a great difficulty in being able to influence the administration, even though I have tended, since my kids started public school in 89, to be a facilitator of educators who I tend to think know more than I do about education, but not always. I think that the Parents Association, when they have a principal present at every meeting, blocks the possibility of parents really being able to talk about the administration and what might be happening there that really is detrimental to the students. I think that particularly at a school like the Bronx High School of Science, where kids are incredibly driven and talented, for them not to be allowed to make use of the city on trips, not to sponsor more college opportunities for them to go and see schools when they have limited resources, to deny kids who have learning disabilities if they haven't been diagnosed before high school to have extended time. Many of those things needed to be addressed and were not, because the current principal tends to block that. I also am wondering why at a school like Bronx High School of Science, when Joel Klein is a scheduled speaker at the graduation, he doesn't show up and there's no explanation.
Well, that's an interesting question. I have no idea about that, but interesting story about your experience. And Lori in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm lucky that our elementary school has always had fantastic principals. I see the truth in the fact that the principal cannot be run by 100 different parent voices. Things that our parents have done to enrich our school are get involved in the arts, support the dance and the theater programs, where we teach Shakespeare in elementary school. We raise money for the arts. We put on a spring arts festival. We started up an after-school enrichment program of science and chess. We do...
Right, so this is parents contributing a lot of money, obviously.
No, not a lot of money. No, a lot of time.
Uh-huh.
And we do a lot to bridge. We're a Title I school. We've done a lot to bridge the gap between Spanish-speaking parents and
uh-huh.
English-speaking parents.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't take a lot of money to have an arts festival. We are lucky that we've had good parent coordinators, and the parent coordinator can be an amazing voice and bridge. But it does come also from the principal being welcoming and encouraging parent involvement. And
when the parent coordinator is doing a good job, what is the parent coordinator doing? Are they helping the parents to help their kids to learn, which is what some people thought the parent coordinator... And there is, for those of you who don't know, a parent coordinator in every school under the mayor's reforms the last few years. Are they helping parents, especially in high-poverty areas, parents who may not have the skills of some other parents to help their kids to learn, helping the parents help the kids? Are they facilitating, you know, political disputes? What are they doing?
A great parent coordinator can help parents who are struggling and kids who are struggling with setting up programs for homework help or for what to do at home to encourage your kid, and our parent coordinator does that. But the parent coordinator is also encouraging parent involvement in another 10 different ways. And every project that we want to do, she's there to help us do it. We need this, she's there to help us get it. And she also helps the principal communicate with us about what's possible and what isn't. The school leadership team has a different function, and they do their job very well as well. But a great parent coordinator is one of the best things that I think has ever happened to the school. Mm-hmm. And I wish every school would set a high criteria for getting an active, caring, committed parent coordinator, because it really is, it allows parents to have a voice on matters where maybe it wasn't so easy before, but it also doesn't mean that 100 people are coming in and demanding curriculum, changes because
right.
of their view, which Lori, I really oppose.
Lori, thank you very much. We have time for one more caller on this, and because of the news breaking in London this morning, we're going to go live to London in just a couple of minutes to find out about this. We can't call it a welcome package for Gordon Brown, the new prime minister, but likely explosives found in at least one vehicle and now possibly two. And police in New York City are stepping up some surveillance and monitoring in the subways, according to Mayor Bloomberg this morning. So we're going to talk about this in just a minute. But we'll get one more call in on this role of parents in the schools and reaction to what the chancellor and the mayor said here. David in Brooklyn, we have 60 seconds for you. Go.
Yes, I'm a parent of two public school students and a teacher in a high school.
Yes.
And I think the most important relationship is that between the parent and the individual teacher, not with the principal of the
uh-huh.
entire school. Teachers want the parents to help them with the homework, prepare for tests, and the parents want to know if they're doing the homework, what are they missing out. And for me, email is, both as a parent and as a teacher, has been highly effective.
So for you as a teacher, do you find that parents are trouble? Are they, they're more interested in getting you to, interested?
Almost never. I know where you're going.
Yeah.
Almost never. It's always what, uh-huh.
How can I help?
Child do better?
Great.
Are they doing the homework? Because they can't, especially in high school, they don't get much information from their kids. So it's been very helpful. But on the other hand, with Chancellor Klein, what a lot of parents in my find, ever since the reorganization, we used to know where to go to get information about the schools through the district. Now it's haphazard. You can never get the information you need.
David, thank you. And thanks to all of you parents who called in on this segment. And coming up in a minute, we'll go live to London to find out about those packages found in cars and implications for New York as well. Stay with us.